Lord, it's very clear that you are pouring out to us. And there's a piece of that that goes with tonight for each one of us. And Lord, we want to be attentive to that. We want to be open to it. And we invite you right now to continue that work in us, to help us be aware, Lord, when you are speaking to us directly, to lean into that with you, to receive from you. Whatever is part of this time tonight, Lord, for each person, we pray that you move in such a way that all of those things happen. And we thank you for your presence here, Lord. In Jesus' name. How are you all doing? Great worship, huh? Yeah. Well, I mentioned to you earlier that I thought there were some changes, and there are a few. So, the focus is a little different. I think we can safely say that there is a strong, clear message coming from the Lord to each of us, and it's of a similar sort. The scripture that speaks into it, I was thinking this afternoon, is from John 15:5. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." See, the implication of our experience of the Lord is that the time with him that we were hearing about today is the chief thing. Everything depends on what comes out of that. And I heard some things about that this afternoon. I'll share some of them with you. One of them is, do not think that you do not have time and have to be effective for your children or your family or your church before having the luxury of time to be quiet with me. And here's the conclusion. You cannot be effective without me. That's the reality and the implication of everything he's showing us. And this, there are many things that you cannot do. In fact, I will have to do them for you. That is verse 7 of John 15. That says, if you abide in me, abide means to stay or remain in a particular state or relationship, condition, stay there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You know, I think that if he is abiding, if we are abiding in him and his words in us, what we ask is going to come out of that interaction, isn't it? And he will do it for us. That could be easier, you know, than some of our efforts. So I think the message is that we come to terms, whatever that looks like in our lives, we come to terms with living that way. And I wrote this down, and I honestly don't know if I'm saying it or it's something the Lord is saying to me, but it is this abiding in Him and time with Him and letting Him pour out and being constantly drawing on Him, the vine, I mean the branch drawing on the vine, that way of life. It is the most effective, fruitful, blessed, and peaceful way to live. The truth is, you can more easily manage letting anything but your time with me go. You know, that is a reality, but there are a lot of pressures, I think, that come to interrupt that. But that probably is the truth. Better to start scheduling your life around the time with me instead of the other way around. He fits in somewhere. You know, we start scheduling things around that time. That might seem a little dramatic in our lives. And I almost heard somebody say, or all of us say, or whatever, but my family won't understand if I set those kind of priorities. Maybe they won't, but this is what you say if there are those comments. I notice that I don't do very well without my time with the Lord. So let's talk about how the family can support me in that need. See, because there's some discomfort with it, you don't say, oh well, it can never work then. You know, you speak into it. You know what? I don't do well without this. So we have to come to terms with this. Is it true that we don't do well without it? Yeah, I think that's part of the coming to terms with it that the Lord is talking about here. And here's something that, you know, a reality that I've noticed many, many times. The most significant thing that I can bring to the table is what I have actually put on of the heart of Jesus, what I've heard and received from Him. That's the most significant thing I bring to the table in most situations. And if I haven't listened or haven't done anything with it, it's still my opinion. And I can, you know, the difference is just really quite remarkable. So there might be some adjustments to be made, but you know, after spending time, after spending regular time with the Lord, and that has gone on for a while, I think the people around us might end up encouraging us to do that, just because of the difference. You know, you're a little kinder, you're a little more patient, you're a little more peaceful. Yeah, I notice some encouragement coming. There's an effect. If, or another way I could say this is, but do not come out of those times with any legalisms. Come out sharing the heart of Jesus and sporting His wisdom and compassion and pouring it out. You know, it will transform a lot of situations. So let's talk a little bit about what we do with that time with Him, since we've all pretty much made commitment to have it, right? And here are just some thoughts on it. Do not simply go through a devotional process or ritual. If you do, you will find yourself drifting off. You'll do it for a few days, but you will find yourself drifting off. If the kind of thing that was happening in terms of the Lord speaking to you and touching you in some particular way doesn't continue to happen, most likely it's not going to last. Because it becomes more of a chore or a duty or just, you know, a process we go through or whatever. So we're not talking about going through a devotional process. We're talking about preparing ourselves for the day with God and whatever's going on. And part of that, see, sometimes I've talked with a lot of people, And part of what prevents them receiving some of the things that the Lord wants to give them is that they're most comfortable praying for everyone else. And it's almost like, you know, we're doing something wrong if we're praying for ourselves. And I have to tell you that my morning time, probably three quarters of it, or two thirds at least on a good day, is about me. It's getting current. It's finding out where I am. It's getting in the clear. It's being able to connect and hear and be available. And then I lift up some things, whatever I know about the day. But the first thing is to get current with ourselves, so that we're in a condition to pray for others, and we can pray more along the lines of, Lord, how do I pray about this? What do you want to do? What's going on here? What is your intention? And we join the Lord in that. You know, those are vital times. And I think there's a need for us to talk to the Lord and work out with Him whatever we have stored up. We're in a lot of circumstances and situations and stuff. Do we store up things from that? See, what goes on in our heart as a result of that? We need to pour some of that out and work it out with Him. If we don't, what happens to it? I can't hear you. Yeah, it might get buried. It festers. It definitely accumulates. And what happens to you after a bit of accumulation? Various forms of sinking. Not like a rock immediately, but more the attrition kind, you know? We get weary. We get gradually discouraged. We get, you know. We need to work out those things. And here's a key. You will probably need as much comfort from the Lord as you have experienced sorrow or grief or difficulty or lamenting with others. See, you will need to work through that with the Lord and let Him comfort and kind of cleanse away some things and free you. You know, it's okay to join in, but then we have to be released from whatever we accumulate in that process. So in talking about I want to say one other thing about storing up. Talk to me about what you've stored up. But if you don't think you have stored anything up, ask Him. Check it out. Just give him a chance to comment on that. You know, the scripture talks about He's the one who looks on our heart, and what He looks at is our heart, not all the stuff. So He's the one who knows. So I think sometimes we have to ask Him. In fact, sometimes it is better to ask the Lord where you are than to tell Him. Takes a little minute for that to hit. Did me too when I heard it. My journal is full of this question. It's repeated over and over and over again. Not the same day usually, but regularly. Lord, where are we today? And I ask that question as from the perspective of, I know I'm on a journey with the Lord. I don't exactly know where it's going. And I don't know where I am on the progression of it. So I say, where are we? Where are we now? We're moving along, but where are we now? And what do I need for this part? The reason I ask that question is because I have discovered so many times that I don't know. I think I know. You know, sometimes I've been talking to the Lord, pouring out things, this is what I need, da, da, da. I get no response. And no response and no response. Finally I say, what do you want to talk about? Okay, Lord. Obviously, This is not the topic. Where, see, that's led me to this, where are we, Lord? And I say we, because I'm on the journey with Him, you know. Where are we in this process you are directing? You know, I think that that sometimes the comments of those around us, and especially those closest to us, can hinder us a little bit. You know, if we're investing in a certain way and they look a little disgruntled about it, or they're not really happy, they seem inconvenienced, or whatever. You know, you hear those kind of statements from family members. Those can be the most difficult, I think. They can derail us or cause us to feel guilty about taking time. You know, how many women do you think have difficulty taking time for themselves? Kind of high proportion, probably, huh? It gets in the way here. We tend to be afraid that we're going to bother them with our needs or our time with the Lord. You know, that's gonna bug them or something. The fact is, they need to see us doing that, especially our kids. You know. But the folks around, they need to see us doing that. That's a primary witness, isn't it? You know, that we are dependent on God, and we don't function very well outside of that. They need to see the priority that it has in our life, and they need to see some of the outcomes of it. You know, I was talking to Frankie today and this afternoon when I was reflecting on this. And it's an interesting thing in our family. A couple of years ago, I'm a morning person, you know, no tomatoes or anything, you know. I'm a but I really like the early morning time. It's just my favorite time of the day. So I have been up early in the morning. And it's pretty routine. I get up, make my tea, sit there with my journal, my tea, and talk to the Lord, and write or listen or whatever we're doing that morning, you know. So my grandkids have seen me do that for a very long time, you know. A couple years ago, two or three years ago, it became evident that my oldest granddaughter, Carrie, is getting up and having a quiet time with the Lord in the morning before she goes to school. She was doing that, I guess, a bit before we really realized it, huh? And I can't tell you how cool that was for me. Never said a word to her. Never said, you should do this. This would be a good idea. You're coming into your teens now. You better spend some time with... Nobody ever said anything to her. She started doing that. Anthony and Joseph spend time in the Word and praying and with the Lord too. They do it at night. I am not their model. Frankie is. We are at opposite ends. Frankie's a night person. You know, she's not going to be the early morning witness. But it wouldn't work for them anyway. I don't think neither one of them are that way too. But see, we need to demonstrate that. And it's surprising that it's actually noticed, you know, that it has an impact. Okay, where am I here? So let me ask you this question, because I think we need to have a handle on this. You know, we're going down the hill tomorrow. And you know that it's harder there? We don't want to get bombed. We want to get through some of these things, okay? So let me ask you just a very practical question. What kinds of things get said that you have difficulty answering if the question is you having a quiet time with the Lord? What happens? What tends to interrupt that? Somebody's starting to say something, but I don't hear it.
Kids.
Kids, okay. They interrupt.
Not interrupt,
they...
But they require non-stop attention to where you can't focus for half hour without interruption.
Okay. But, okay, and that, you know, I think that's a biggie with small children, isn't it? You know? But what can be done about that? See, how old do they have to be to begin to understand that, you know, there's some time that mom's gonna, you know, be quiet? I mean, you know, they could watch a video and they could be told that, okay, I want you to watch this, I'm gonna take some time with the Lord. We'll regroup in a half hour or 45 minutes. See, something can be, you know, if we're determined, there are some ways that can be worked out. If we're not determined and we don't have a plan, it will automatically interrupt it. And if it does it 2 or 3 days in a row, guess what? We lost the farm. And, you know, you have to get it back at next year's retreat. What else? Discipline? Huh? Well, telephones can be turned off. So it's a matter of choosing and doing it, and you know.
I start thinking about everything else. Like, oh, gee, what should we eat for dinner? Oh, I've got to go pre-take something out.
Okay, but that's a priority thing, isn't it? Those things happen around that time, not instead of it. They don't see that they need to cease having the power to wipe it out. And that's something that we just have to track. We have to be aware of it. It's like you know, sometimes when you have received something really wonderful from the Lord, the next thing you'll hear are some weird suggestions that definitely are not coming from Him. You know, I mean, it's right on the heels of it. You barely got a hold of it. It's right on the heels of it. If you know, my most successful times of not losing the farm then is when I say, not today. I'm not going there today. Not even going to entertain that. I'm going to stay right here with the Lord. It's that same kind of thing, I think. We've got to keep a hold of it. And let me say something about the discipline comment that Karen made. At this point, discipline is part of the issue. Because we have to get past the hurdle of these kinds of things that we're talking about and shut the door and, you know, and get a place. And one thing is to have a place, you know, to have a place where you go with the Lord. And it's set up to work for that activity, you know. So we have to have enough discipline and tenacity to kind of push through for a while. But I tell you, it is not discipline that gets me up early in the morning now. It's not discipline anymore. You know, people have said to me, gee, you have a lot of discipline. I don't really. You know, I can let things go, procrastinate, you know. But I will not give that time up because I love being with the Lord. And the things that happen in that time, I can't afford to be without. So it's not discipline anymore. But I think we have to exercise it for a while until that is our favorite time, you know, and it's such a treasure that we will fight for it. But you see, it's got to happen enough for us to get to that place. What else? Okay.
You know, I know you can't do it all the time, but it's like it keeps me, it just keeps me focused on what God is saying to me and what my heart is.
Yes.
And back and forth. It's kind of funny because it's like almost a dialogue. You know, it keeps me focused, and that's the only way I can do that.
Yeah, I journal and it keeps me focused, you know, too. I mean, because you can look at it and go back. And you know, you don't have to remember what happened before. It's written down there, yeah. I recently got a laptop, and that is wonderful, man. I type faster than I read. But I put it down there. And you know the cool thing about a laptop? You can be, you know, like when we're spending time with the Lord, you can be, you know, looking at the Word or whatever. Sometimes your eyes are open. But then there's just this time of sitting there and listening with your eyes closed. I can type with my eyes closed. Yeah, Lord. I mean, there's a lot of things I have recorded now that I can look back at that I couldn't remember before. Buy a laptop. That's my advice to you. It's very cool. I'm enjoying it. All right, what else? Anything else that's tripping you up? That you know, we just need to, yeah.
Sometimes I don't go before the Lord because sometimes I don't want to get an answer because I might not want to hear the answer that I have for me.
Right.
So I just kind of avoid it for a long time until it gets really bad and then I go. Mm-hmm. So I'm serious.
I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
It's true, and there's quite a bit of that, and I appreciate your honesty. And actually, I was gonna talk about that whether anybody brought it up or not. But there actually are a lot of things that go on with us that that cause us to be a bit reluctant to spend time with the Lord. One is what Shannon just said. You know, I'm afraid what he's going to say. Generally speaking, when we push through that, he doesn't end up saying what we think he's going to. For one thing, we can't figure it out. So it's usually kind of surprising, you know, what he actually has to say. It's not a judgment, usually. It's not mostly focused on doing. It's, you know, I mean, there's a gathering and a welcoming that goes with that. That is not what we're afraid of, you know. But there can be a lot of things in our life that make closeness difficult, that make risking difficult, that make trust difficult. If things have happened that have broken our trust, we're gonna have some difficulty doing that. And see, we're talking about breaking through the practical hurdles and defeating those. But under those may be some of the very kind of thing that Shannon is talking about. If that's what goes on, and you have reason to believe that's what's going on, then I think you're looking at probably arranging for some prayer that will help you identify what that is and dismantle it. You know, we have started to schedule some connecting prayer times. That's what they're about. They're about identifying what's in the way and what prevents us from coming. If it's a regular thing, if we keep getting tripped up in the same kind of way, and it's a little bit mysterious what's going on, we're not real clear. Then we're looking at getting some folks together to pray through those things so that we don't keep getting distance from the Lord. We don't keep staying at a distance. It's absolutely critical that we get through to Him. You know, kind of everything depends on it. So if that's what's happening, you know, if you're experiencing something like that, talk to me, talk to Judy, you know, and let's look at getting some prayer time set up. Where we gather around, you know. So usually, it's something we believe and fully expect that really isn't even what the Lord's like, you know. But you almost have to pray with somebody who doesn't believe that, you know, because it's a very strong expectation, you know. Usually, it comes from our experience in life. It's happened and happened and happened and happened, and we assume it's going to happen again, you know, even with God. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, Frankie.
A long time ago, when I was going to another church in Orange County, I went to someone and said, I have such a difficult time sitting before the Lord and listening and reading His Word and hearing from Him. You know, I can't stay focused. You know, it, to me, it wasn't a discipline problem. It was I wander. I can't stay focused. I can read a passage, and it doesn't even, you know, I can't even stay focused on enough to know what I read. And, you know, in that, they had said to me that, well, I must have a tremendous amount of sin in my life and whatever, and, you know, you just need to be more disciplined and stuff like that. It really was very discouraging. But later on, I had asked for prayer a long time ago from Mom, and it came to, for me to realize that going in and sitting before the Lord and listening to Him, my expectations were the same as my biological father's expectation. I would never in a million years go sit before my father, my biological father, and expect anything but discouragement or put down and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I had transferred that unknowingly to the Lord. That was my expectation of going into a quiet time with the Lord was, you know, condemnation. Yes, I'm the biggest sinner on the earth. You know, that's what my expectation was. And I had such anxiety just sitting and listening. You know, and yeah. Having to work through that, I was able to be able to hear a little bit more. And, no, well, that's not my biological father. That's not my heavenly father. So, mm-hmm. I don't know that.
Yeah, that's
saying, but that that's was a big hurdle for me. Is I heard what my biological father said, not what my technical father said, and I didn't even know that that's what I was hearing until it was brought to light.
And the thing that she's describing is an emotional expectation. It's not our intellectual concept, you know. See, people can know that God is good and loving and gracious and full of mercy. And be afraid to get too close to Him. There's two separate things going on. That's not even unusual. You know. See, if that weren't the case, we wouldn't struggle with it as much as we do. And we would all be alongside. See, there's something in the way, you know, and it's not usually our understanding. That is more easily reconciled than our emotions. So if something like that is going on, it's bugged you for a long time, and you're up to here with it, you know, you're just sick to death of it, let's get together and look at it. Okay, let me say a couple of other things. Any other things that you want to share, though? Yeah, go ahead. Right. We don't want to say we're sorry, Lord, or whatever. I mean, yeah, you feel like you've, you know, we don't feel real good about that, but we also wonder if He does. You know, maybe he'll be disappointed, or maybe he'll be. But you know, all the times in here where He says return. You know, many times when I've poured out something that I'm not happy with me about to the Lord, you know, I get responses like, He's content for me to learn, to see. And His attitude seems to be, okay, let's continue. You know? That's more the kind of response we're going to get. We're not going to get condemnation and stuff from Him, you know? We're not going to get the, you know, you get a C this week. Barely passing. That's not the response. So, but it is humbling for us to acknowledge that and move back into it, I think. And again, that's one of those hurdles that we push through. And as soon as you notice it, you start pushing through it, you know. And I think that connects with the discipline thing that Karen's talking about too. We got to get back over there before we start enjoying the Lord again and moving into some deeper things, you know. Okay, what else? Does that cover most of the bases? Let me share something with you about the reason I think we're focusing on this much tonight is because we need to get through this. You know, we need to come into this, to these places with the Lord, and know how to stay there and be strengthened in that. And I felt that today, and I also this afternoon was becoming aware of a link that the Lord made for me, I think, between the word that He sent last night and the message really all day today and tonight. It is this: to the degree that we make it through the battles to spend time with Him, that is the degree to which that word will be fulfilled in us. Let me repeat that. To the degree that we push through the barriers and we get to a place where we regularly spend time with Him and get all the way over to the place where we go out into the day with Him and we are in a fellowship and a partnership with Him in life. See, to the degree that we move in that direction, it's to that degree that that word will be fulfilled in us. Because it can't be fulfilled otherwise, can it? We've got to abide with Him. We've got to move. We've got to get into those places for that word to be fulfilled. Now, you look terrible. So sober, you know. But you know what? That's an encouraging word. Because the ways in which we have gotten disqualified from that word being fulfilled in us is just a matter of pushing through. It is for us. But that's what the territory looks like. We have to get through. We have to learn to fight. I hate to tell you this, but there's no way out of it. And I have thought that at least as much as anybody here, I'm sure. But there's no way out of it. We have to fight those battles. Okay, I think that's most of what I want to share. But I am struck by the fact that that tomorrow we're going back down the hill. And you know what very often happens following a retreat is there's this whole atmosphere that goes on that is just glorious, really. You know, regular worship, several times a day, gathering, great unity, no responsibility. I mean, it's just glorious, you know. And you're going to go back into a situation where the contrast is immediate and it is intense. You know, it gets interrupted and we're back to... Just the contrast alone can start to derail us, you know. So there's going to be a test soon, huh? Now, here's the thing. If you have some handle on what's going on and you need, you know, encouragement or prayer, or even, you know, you feel like a need to set up some accountability, you know, somebody that you have coffee with, somebody that you talk to by phone, how's it going with your time with the Lord? Primary question. See, let's get that done. Let's get that happening. Let's be very real with ourselves about what we need, what would really move us along in that, and start crying out to the Lord for it. Start setting it up. You know, some people have difficulty with some space or whatever. You know, you start identifying where that place is going to be, and you get it set up. All right, I'd like us to take some time tonight here at the end. I want to pray for you all. But then, whatever comes out of that prayer, whatever prompting, whatever leading you have from the Lord, do it. See? If you need prayer, ask for it. If you need to have somebody in it with you that you want to talk to, and you have somebody in mind, ask them. You know? Take it up, though. See, let's take it up. Whatever that is. And I'm going to ask the Lord to reveal it. Okay? So let's begin to pray. Why don't you all stand and do something like reach out your hands or something. Let's open ourselves up, okay? I'm gonna pray, and then can we just have some worship after that, Judy? So that we get to hang around with the Lord a little bit and give Him a chance to move. Lord, you are drawing us very noticeably and very consistently in this time, and you're going to a fair amount of trouble to light up the things that have worked to divide us from you, or to separate us or derail us or interrupt those times of growth and grace with you. Lord, we raise them up to you right now. We know they are there. We understand some of the patterns, probably others we don't. And we agree with you, Lord, to the degree that we can. This is a critical issue in our life. It's one we have to win. This is a battle we have to win. And you are more committed than we to that happening. So Lord, I want to invite you tonight to show each person here whatever we can see at this point, Lord, about what we need now to continue to press in, to kind of push through some of these things and win some of these battles, that we don't get defeated, that we don't get separated, that we don't keep at a distance. If we understand what it is and we can defeat it, then encourage us, direct us, empower us to do that. If we don't know what it is, Lord, don't let us sink into that, but to cry out for prayer, to let folks know whatever we know, and insist on getting through that too. We raise all of these things up to you, Lord. And we're going to wait on you for a little while now. We're going to invite you, Holy Spirit, to move upon our hearts, to lift the things that have gotten in the way, to light them up brightly, and to give us the keys, to unlock and move and change those places. The fact is, Lord, there is a great longing in the hearts of your daughters here for you, for the kind of time, for the kind of interaction that was going on all across this group this morning as we spent time with you, Lord. That is what we need in our lives, Lord. We need that pouring out regularly. We need that reviving. We need that clarity. We need the reminders. As we wait upon you, Lord, we just invite you to move among us and encourage and strengthen. And direct. Lord, help us be Help us be clear what we need to do with you right now about the things that you've been saying. Whether that is a response to you, whether it is a request for prayer, whether it is just a waiting on you and letting you pour out upon us your love and your courage. Whatever we need, Lord, we invite you to pour that out to us. Here we are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Lord, increase your presence among us. Enough to push through whatever we need you to, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Lord, help us be comfortable in your presence and not miss anything that you want to pour out to us. Help us not be uncomfortable or impatient, Lord. Let us wait upon you. Julie.